High Vibe Mama is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hello, rock stars. I'm your host, Carrie Price. Welcome to the High Vibe Mama podcast. I am so thrilled to be discussing all things health, wellness, lifestyle, motherhood, and more. Ready to get vibed? Yes, we're on. Yes, welcome. Hello. Welcome back to the podcast. This is High Vibe Mama. I'm really excited because this is my very first special guest that I have on my podcast today. As you guys know, our theme that we're speaking about is chiropractic. And so I've actually one of my favorite chiropractors on with me. I'm kind of his Facebook, Instagram stalker. and he's just one of my favorites. He speaks so well, and he educates so well, and he's amazing. So this is Dr. Jason Day, and he's in practices in Holly Springs, North Carolina. Is that correct?
Yes. Thanks so much for having me, by the way.
Yes, thank you for coming. Okay, so y'all know before I start the podcast, we always have to have a song, and so I actually asked Jason. I said, "What's your favorite song?" And he said, "Return of the Mac." And the funny thing was,
school, come on, that's the high school dance song of at least my generation. Yes. So when that came on, the lunch area cafeteria cleared the floor, and the best of the best dancers got out in the middle and just did their stuff. So
yes, so we're gonna play that, and I usually just play a little bit of it. So what I want you to do is, I want you to sit back, change your state. We're gonna talk about some really juicy stuff here on the podcast today. So I'm just gonna start with that song, and let's get it.
Yeah.
I remember.
Is it going? Is it just in our heads?
No, it's going. Can you not hear it? Oh,
we got it now. I got it. I'm a little muted on my end. My bad.
It's okay.
Yes. That's classic. Tell me a better song, seriously.
There is. I don't think so. I actually was listening to this at the gym yesterday when I was lifting weights, and I did arms yesterday, and so this was on my playlist. So
that's why you're ripped.
Good taste in music. All right. Well, let's pause this and let's get into our juicy conversation here. So let me just tell you how I found Dr. Jason. So when my husband was in chiropractic school, Dr. Tony Ebel came and spoke to us, and so I followed him. And so he had shared Dr. Jason this video that he made that said, "Moms are telling the truth," or something, or
"Moms are being lied to." It's even saltier than that. So yes.
Okay, "Moms are being lied to," and I listened to it, and I literally just sobbed because I just remember for years and years and years that I was told that, like, it was all in my head, I wasn't telling the truth, or that I was just making it up for attention. And I knew that there was something, because we have this intuition with our children, and this was my first son. And I know that I've talked about his story, so I won't go into that. If you guys follow me on social media, I've told you his medical injury story. I've told you the things that happened with him. And I just was literally sobbing, and I screen recorded his.
You did.
I remember. I know. I screen recorded. I'm so sorry. I was like, this is amazing. And this isn't on Instagram, so I have to share it. He didn't have it on Instagram yet. And so I screen recorded and I was just sobbing and I just was saying, you know, this reminded me of like my story and I'm so grateful that someone's sharing it in this way. But the way that he shares is very captivating too, and all of his stuff. So if you guys haven't seen some of his videos, you can follow Trinity Life Center on Instagram and also on Facebook. And he puts out such great content on, you know, just empowering mothers and kids like all around the world. And I just love it. Like my heart's so happy right now. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a major part of my mission and purpose, not just to speak to people, but to speak for people in many cases that feel silenced, that feel victimized, that feel broken and ostracized by different people that are in power. And a lot of times that is the medical machine. And again, I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not here to bash them. But why have women become so marginalized and conditioned to question their own instincts, to question their own maternal I trust a mom's instincts more than I do than a doctor's diagnosis. And I would love to see a world where we could come together and work together and trust those instincts, because it's hard enough. And you can start anywhere, because if you think about it, the whole pregnancy process in the medical world is treated as a pathology. It's almost as if it's a problem. Like, how fast do we get this foreign body out of this woman, you know, shoot it up, poke it up, do all these different tests. And then we have all these challenges with babies. And the point of that video, actually, you mentioned Tony Ebel. He's my closest friend. We've been buddies for about 8.5 years. We text daily like teenage girls. And we constantly motivate and inspire each other and we have a lot of fun. But it actually stemmed from a statement that I heard him say one time. And it's this marginalizing phrase that they'll grow out of it. Like, oh, the colic, the reflux, they'll grow out of it. You know, and then that tail spins into ear infections, reflux, and all these different other challenges, immune system health, they'll grow out of it. Stop worrying. It's just quit. You know, it's not you. You get marginalized. So it's so frustrating to see that moms are just, let's not worry about it. So I was like, let me put that into words. And a lot of the people that have motivated me and inspired me, I grew up in the church and we used to go to revivals. Little weird thing about me, one of my best friends, in college, he was a minister of music at a church, and we would actually crash like full gospel revivals at African American churches. Wow. So we were these two little white specks of honkiness over the border, just having fun. And again, not even to get into faith and religion if you want to, but there was a way that these speakers had of just captivating an audience and making them move physically and emotionally and spiritually. And I like to pull in that, because if I can't think of anything more important than our health and our children's health. Find it on the planet. And why can't we get excited about it? Why can't we bring passion and energy and purpose? And sometimes frustration and anger, at least if it's purposeful. So again, there are some times where videos we want to laugh, there's times we want to cry, but there's times we have to bring up to the surface, this is a problem. And I want to empower moms through our videos. It's not about me. It's not about making chiropractic look better. I want the people watching the video to feel empowered and feel like a hero in their own story. Because when you let other people write that story, whether it's your OB, whether it's your pediatrician, whether it's big pharma, whether it's the government, whether it's your governor or restriction, if you let other people write that story, you'll never be cast the hero. And that's my purpose in life, is to cast people as heroes. So I'm going to let you talk, because this is your podcast, but I'm ranting already.
No, I love it. I love your energy of that. And so I kind of want to go with, well, I wanted to really talk about the perfect storm. I have a whole highlight on my Instagram where I've talked about the perfect storm, but I've talked about my own son's perfect storm. And this is really interesting, you guys. Like, my husband didn't figure this out, or we didn't even till my son was 7. Okay. My husband had been a chiropractor for a long time.
It's not taught in schools. Yeah.
Right. It's not taught in schools. And when I realized what had happened in his storm, I mean, just a light bulb went off, but also tears, you know, because you feel guilty. You feel like, why didn't I catch this? You know, I didn't realize that the falling off the scooter, the head trauma even caused even more. You know, I didn't realize all these things. Even my husband didn't realize too, even though he was a chiropractor. And so this learning about this perfect storm has really changed the trajectory of even how I share with moms as well. Right. And so I guess to breaking it down so we can understand, I know there's lots of scientific words and all the things and the neural pathways and
Won't get that from me. That's boring talk. I want to talk.
So maybe just in a nutshell, if you could explain to moms, like, maybe what is that perfect storm and how to spot that storm.
For sure.
And also I want to talk about what's common versus normal as well. So Go ahead and take it away.
This is all the stuff I love about, man. You're just teeing this up for me. So the perfect storm basically is a myriad of stressors. They can be physical, they can be chemical, they can be emotional. But at some point, those stressors push and push and push and overwhelm a child or an adult's neurology. When a nervous system is overwhelmed, it kicks into the fight or flight spectrum. We've all been in fight or flight. We've had fight or flight moments. It's okay. The problem is when you get stuck there. So let's think about what fight or flight is actually designed for. We're going to have to rewind the clock 10,000 years to the caveman that's actually running from a bear. If I'm running from a bear, my senses heighten exponentially. The sense of touch, taste, sound, proprioception, all those balance things. That's a good thing, running from a bear. How important is it to digest my breakfast if I'm about to be breakfast? So the digestive system, that requires a lot of energy and attention. Let's turn that off. How important is it to fight a cold, an ear infection, if I'm about to fight a bear? Again, the immune system, the digestive system, the sleep systems, all good things in the long term, but running from a bear, screw that. Let's turn that off. So the senses have heightened. Some things have ramped up. Some things have ramped way down. But this brain and neurology is in pure survival mode. The fight or flight spectrum, the sympathetic spectrum, this is the spectrum of spectrum challenges. And on the extreme end, on severe challenging cases, that's autism, that's ADHD, that's anxiety, that's SPD, that's OCD. It's all these different diagnoses that are brought to, like, the only reason you get the diagnosis is because you checked enough boxes of symptoms. But every one of those symptoms is rooted in neurology, specifically right. A nervous system that's stuck in fight or flight. So that is the storm. So what are physical stressors? Quite possibly the moment your child was born. Thank God for birth interventions. It saved, where is he? Right there in that picture, one of my little guys. He had to be pulled out by a C-section. But the medical literature tells us, it's not an opinion, it's not a soapbox. The average C-section puts upwards of 60 pounds of pulling on a baby's neck and brainstem. That's a problem. And again, might have saved their life, but what did it cause tomorrow and in the future? The brainstem was ground zero for what? The fight or flight spectrum. So there's in utero constraint, there's physical stressors, there's the one your son went through, traumatic brain injury. We've seen kids pull over Chester doors and hit them in the head, and it leads to snowballing challenges with their neurology. That's physical. That's just one thing. And my boys daily try to kill themselves. They have wipeouts. Stuff happens. Chemical right? stressors. Chemical stressors are anything that goes in the body that's not a nutrient. And again, our environment is chock full of them, but so is our diet, and so are the things that we shove into our children's arms and bloodstream. I'm not anti-medication. I'm also not anti-peanut, but I'm also open to the idea that peanuts can be a problem for some kids. And without exaggeration, we have kids here that were perfectly fine, got a routine wellness check and stopped talking, snowballed into nonverbal autism. It's not my opinion. I believe women, hashtag, let's believe women. That mom knew something happened. And again, just like a peanut can hurt a kid, so can medications. So again, those are right. chemical stressors, and then there's emotional stressors. Call it every Tuesday, every Monday, every Wednesday. I mean, there's so many different stressors. So any one of these, specifically a unique combination of some of them, all but guarantees a child's nervous system can get stuck there. And when a nervous system gets stuck there, it's not a developing, it's not adapting, it's not healing, it's just surviving. But so many of these challenges that we're seeing in kids, the digestive challenges, running from a bear again, colic, reflux, constipation, oh, they'll grow out of it, right? Right. No, you're being lied to. Oh, their immune system's tanking, they have ear infections, chronic croup, allergies, asthma. Well, there's steroids, there's puffers, there's antibiotics for that, more chemicals. And then we just keep growing into bigger challenges. And that was one of the point of the videos. I think that they'll grow out of it is more of a dismissive statement to just kind of get you out of the office, or here's some antibiotics to get you out of the office, while they're actually growing into bigger challenges. So the perfect storm is those myriad of stressors that are just overwhelming child's brain and neurology. And chiropractic obviously plays a piece to that gigantic puzzle of unwinding that and putting it back together for them so that they can have a healthy future. So that's perfect storm in a nutshell. It's an hour long workshop. Yeah, and about
I know, right? I love that. There's a lot to say. And I feel like there can be different storms, right? Because I know storm of my son even looked a little bit different, you know, because, you know, and I'll just tell you guys my son's storm. So my son's storm was forceps and vacuum at birth. Which I thought was completely normal, right? And this is when I had my standard hospital birth. And, you know, now I'm in the woods giving home birth now. But we won't talk about that in this one.
Yeah.
But so, and then obviously he had very severe reactions to the vaccines that he received. And then he also was, you know, riding a scooter with one of my family members, and he literally fell off, hit his face so hard. And we now know that he had a little bit of a concussion for that, but, you know, we took him in, they're like, everything is fine. But it kind of opened up his blood-brain barrier, and I noticed so many different more issues that were happening. And it was almost like, you know, you feel like as a mom that you have lost your child, even though he's still living. And it's just hard as a mom, you know, and not knowing the answers too. And I know even my husband's like, you know, I'm doing this, I'm adjusting him. But we weren't seeing the progression until we learned about the perfect storm, and we learned about, you know, adjusting certain areas first. And now, you know, my son, and I haven't told you guys this because we just got his, re-scanned him. He went from, you know, his output was a 245, and now we've got him down to like a 140 or something like that.
You're talking about an EMG scan, right?
Yeah. So like,
which measures the tone and inch and energy and the tension on a muscle, which is controlled by the nerve. So basically you can think about if you're driving through life and the radio is 10 times louder than it should be, it's hard to focus on anything. It can be overwhelming.
But what I kind of like it that way though.
If it's the right song, if it's Return of the Mac, but you can imagine if, you know, kids are screaming, dogs barking, and it's horrible. So it's Nickelback playing or something. No offense to the bros out there. But my point is at some point your brain can't process sensory noise. What you're saying with the score going down, that's the volume is going down. But more importantly, he's in control of the volume, because there's a time to crank the music in life. Like if we're playing athletics, if we're working out, if we're at a dance party, awesome, crank it up. But a lot of these kids had it turned up on the day they were born, when the vacuum was stuck to their malleable head, when the forceps were twisting and torquing a brainstem. And again, not to look back with judgment or regret, it just, stuff happens. But yeah, you described it perfectly as a mom. And there's a beautiful child named Evan, and Dr. Tony shares about him and his perfect storm. And I share with it too, because the mom shows videos of her child in this storm. And he was a nonverbal autistic child, similar birth story, similar, and he had seizures. And the doctors are like, he just has autism. And for his safety and yours, he'll probably have to be institutionalized as a teenager and as an adult. That's nothing you want to hear as a parent. But she used a word to describe her son that haunts me, but also inspires me to this day. And you hinted and you alleged at that. But she said, when I look in my son's eyes, I see vacant. And as a doctor, just like you said, I can explain the neurology behind that vacancy, that vacant eyes. But as a dad to those guys, that breaks my heart. Because when we look in our children's eyes, we want to see potential. We want to see a future. We want to see relationships and engagement and light and music. And she saw vacancy. And again, that's not the diagnosis and prognosis that's remotely acceptable. But when you can reconnect and recharge and find that neurological connection and establish and reestablish that and heal, my God, miracles happen. And that's what inspires us. Again, if somebody's back feels better or their headache goes away or their golf swing gets a little bit nice, that's awesome. But when a child can say, I love you, you know, when a mom can sleep at night knowing her child's healthy and not possibly going to injure themselves, oh my gosh, that's just inspirational work to me there. So yeah, thank you for sharing that perspective.
And my son, he used to say, like, he was just like, my brain feels calm. Like that's what he'd say. My brain feels calm. And he was just like, before it just felt so, like I was running all the time, you know, and we're still working on through some things, you know. But I really wanted to ask you is that, because I think the missing piece was the birth. I didn't realize that this birth situation was such a big deal. And so I guess my question is do you think that that's what needs to change a lot, is how we bring children into the world? Or what is, because that was the missing piece. I felt like, I was like, why didn't anyone say that that could have caused any damage? And here's the deal. When I look back, I don't even know why the forceps and vacuum were used, because I was progressing. There was nothing. So I don't know if it was just a routine thing that they do and then when I've researched the science on it, there really is no science behind vacuum and so do you feel like that's where we have to start too? It's at the birth trauma or even birth?
Yeah. And it's a great place to start, because that's where it starts. Not with every kid, but all humans come to this planet because of the birth process. But I don't want to get too controversial with this, but again, I don't know the full depth of your story, but I highly doubt that if your child had a perfect birth and the right, you know, neurological connections, that fall off the scooter would have even affected his afternoon, much less his life. So often these kids are camped out on this neurological cliff. And it is that one thing that shoves them over. And it could be a vaccine. It could be a slip or a fall. It could be this, but they were festing and brewing in a perfect storm all along. And a very vivid and clear example, since we're talking about Tony Ebel on this so much, he's going to love that his name's being dropped so much.
I know. It's like, I'll share it with him.
It's come to national attention that he's taking care of Levi and Lainey just recently.
I saw that.
And they have about 400 plus, maybe even 500,000 followers that have been praying and lifting up this family. And oddly enough, I have been praying and lifting up this family and wishing they were finding a chiropractor in their area, because patients were sharing this. They didn't even know Tony, didn't even know the chiropractor. They were trying everything. A little bit about Levi. Levi and his twin sister fell into a pool at a party. They had a traumatic brain injury, the exact same thing, the exact same time, the exact same genetics. The sister is perfectly fine, and Levi's lights were turned off, basically. Yeah. So I mean, he had this traumatic brain injury with a drowning incident. And again, we understand the neurology about why he's injured, but why is she fine? But when they actually peel back the history, a lot of times we see, well, the sister came out easy, but he had the colic, the reflux, the constipation. So the storm was brewing the entire time. And we see this with so many of the kids that we're helping with the deepest neurological disconnects. Yes, there might've been one moment, like a scooter moment, or a vaccine moment or something, they're like, I think that was it. And more often than not, there's a myriad of stressors that build up to that point where they finally just get pushed over. Life and bad things can happen in a moment, don't get me wrong, but a lot of times it's this buildup. So what better place to start than empowering women through pregnancy and not treating it as a pathology? Again, even if I'm wrong, the side effect is that we've supported empowered women through the most important journey of their life, darn. You know, it's like not a bad idea, but we don't do that. We do 75 tests to find out what's going to be wrong with this pregnancy. We tell them just to shut up and lay there. And if you don't shut up and lay there still enough, we're going to basically paralyze you, so that you don't feel the pain of the most beautiful pain in the life when you're creating a life, and it's not on my schedule. So we have to induce that you're not progressing. Oh my gosh, your blood pressure went up. Well, you just pumped a bunch of chemicals and she's pushing a human out of their body. So of course your blood pressure is going to go up. Again, understand physiology. Thank God for doctors and interventions when it's necessary, but the idea that it's necessary 30 or 40% of the time is absurd. That's the C-section rate, but that's assuming that a vaginal birth is just some cakewalk as well. A lot of times there's foot on the tables and they're pulling babies' heads out, and it's just bizarre. If that baby was 5 days old and you're at your grandmother's house and Uncle Fred's holding the baby and God forbid, he just forget to hold the head and the baby does one of these, everybody thinks Uncle Fred's an idiot because they didn't support his neck, head, and brainstem.
Right.
But yeah, we pass out cigars when somebody sticks a vacuum on their head and pulls 60, 70, 80 pounds. High five, here's your $20,000 for a great job done. And now my child is overwhelmed and has a horrible start. Here's the kicker. And again, I'm rambling because I love talking about this stuff, but there's more neurological and brain development in those first 3 years of their life than the rest of their life combined. So not only is their brain growing rapidly, it's firing, it's experience, it's firing nerves together. And those experiences dictate that future. Nerves that fire together, wire together.
Yes.
So the first time we put chocolate in our mouth as a baby, our brain literally forms a physical nerve fiber that says chocolate good, fire bad. like we're creating brain structures for this, but you can imagine if a child is stuck in a storm, their brain is literally mainlining stress. It's fast tracking stress. So if a lot of crap happens in those first 3 years, that's a big knot to unwind. And that's not a discouraging statement, it's just the reality. And when does that diagnosis of autism come in? Around age four. It's like, well, I guess it's screwed up, All these things there's all these different challenges, all these frustrations. I guess the neurology is messed up. Maybe we can call it this, maybe we can call it that. But if we can get it right from the beginning, we can avoid those stressors, or at the very least start managing and reconnecting those stressors if it does happen. Because again, C-section saves lives. I'm not here to bash the process. It's just the reality.
And I mean, I've had two premature babies too. So mm-hmm. I'm not against, thank goodness for medical intervention.
Yeah, they wouldn't be a lot. Yeah, premature babies. I mean, if you go into old graveyards, that's what the young ones, they just came out too early and we didn't have any options for them in the early 1900s.
Yeah, so
thank God for medicine.
Yes, absolutely. And you guys, and I know this, think about the birth process, even when it's a home birth, it goes perfectly great. You're still having tons of pressure on that baby's head.
Yeah.
So I think that no matter what kind of birth you have, it's kind of traumatic, right? Would you say? But there's so many other things I think that can be added to it. And I think You know, me even researching the different things when I was going back in my son's history, I was like, well, why is this? Why is this? And then I couldn't find any research to back it up. Why they would do this? Why would they do this? And it seems like sometimes they're just stuck in protocol, you know, or they're just stuck in this hamster wheel that this is the way that it's supposed to be. And it can't be like outside of this. And I personally feel like one size fits all medicine is just very dangerous. I mean, I don't know if you feel that way too, but I don't think it should be very much patient focused, and instead of almost like this agenda focused. I don't know. That's kind of how I felt kind of going back through the history. But I just, yeah, it's so interesting hearing you say all that, because I know all of this, but then you put it together like so beautifully and say it so well. And so I'm like,
yeah, those are the light bulbs we want to turn on. And again, I said at the very beginning of this, we want to partner with medical doctors and OBs and pediatricians, partner with moms being the leader in that partnership as we serve them and empower them through that. But, and just to peel back the curtain and in a non-judgmental way, I do have questions, and I have very close friends as our OBGYNs. And I had that question. I was like, look, no bashing you. Like, thank God for your work. But why are we doing this? You know, like, why are there so many interventions? Why are there? And the reason for so many C-sections, according to this one doctor, and again, certainly doesn't speak for all of them, he said, there's so many variables. There's so many curveballs in a pregnancy. We don't know what's going to happen next, how long it's going to take, this progression. He's like, with a C-section, I could shut my eyes and just tell you every single thing, every possible thing that could go wrong and exactly how I'd fix it. And then we're done. What difference does it make? And again, there's a big difference. A baby in your arms, how it got there matters. And again, thank God for C-sections, it saves lives. But there are certain physiological, natural things that happen, exchanges with hormones and bacteria, good things, good bacteria, we know that, right, that actually set that child up for success. And when we bypass nature, we're bypassing some things, and we're bypassing the opportunity to develop and grow naturally. So again, if it happens, we need to know what are the next steps other than, oh, as long as the baby comes out. That shouldn't be the end goal, only the end goal. You know, there's so many pieces to that puzzle that we want to put together. But again, it all begins with empowering women with the right to empower themselves. And that might even begin preconception, if we're getting honest, because yeah, pregnancy and birth is a marathon. I'm assuming, I never have one, but it is a 40-week journey. It doesn't just start and end in 40 weeks.
Yes.
It's like, how do we prepare our bodies to be in the optimal physiological hormonal state to create this perfect environment of a womb to create the healthiest babies possible, hopefully for a natural birth outcome? Who are the team of doctors and fitness and nutrition that I need to surround myself with to create a perfect environment for that exit? And you talked about like even a normal natural birth, think of where they're coming from. It's like this perfectly sensory deprived environment, like a dark room where all they hear is, you know, mother's
heartbeat.
That's
what they hear, right? And mother's
maybe
heartbeat.
Return of the Mac on headphones or something, but like just this serene environment to this chaos. Like, imagine how noisy it is to a baby that's just been inside of a womb. That can be stressful. And again, if you got an overwhelmed mom, to overwhelm society, overwhelmed families, overwhelmed environment of just sensory overloading, chemically, physically, emotionally, it's a miracle that there aren't more babies with sensory challenges. And again, when I was born in the early, like, I mean, we're talking like late 70s, early 80s, like autism was hardly a word. Sensory challenges, ADHD. I mean, you might have known one kid that was a little wired or something, but it's in every classroom. I mean, it's getting to where it's almost half the classroom with certain sensory challenges. And again, these are the epidemics that I'm concerned with. One in five children have a defined mental disorder. One in six have a chronic illness. One in nine have asthma. Why aren't we talking about these numbers?
I know.
And again, not to get too controversial with like with coronavirus or anything like that. I mean, we're not like, look at all the changes we've made, because maybe, just maybe, it might be a problem for a very small portion of the society. And again, I'm not saying we should up everything, but maybe we should ask bigger and better questions for OBs and the birth process and hospitals and babies in general. So that's where you should start for sure.
Right. Well, and I also wanted to talk about common versus normal, or like I always hear the saying that moms say, they're like, well, at least as long as they're healthy, right? They come out and it's like, well, wait a minute though, but all these steps that they just did, like that's not creating health, you know, and that's not creating like vitality in the child. And then I just hear, oh, you know, it's fine. That's just common, you know? And so I feel like we have a very big disconnect between like what's common and what's normal.
Right.
And I feel like we've been so desensitized to what actually is normal that we just think this is normal and it's not. And I don't want to say it in a judgmental way. Obviously, you guys know my podcast, my whole vibe, it's about empowering people. I want to empower you to ask better questions, to use discernment, you know, and trust your intuition. And so I kind of want to touch on that is, how do you think we differentiate from what is common versus normal in the society that we live in now, right? Because I'm like, okay, what do we consider normal now? Like, without getting too, I mean, three masks, like, you know, hazmat suit, like, what's normal?
What's the tipping point? Like, when do we get off this train? Because I'm loving the Facebook memories that are popping up this week, you know, because this is the week it happened last year.
I know.
I made it to about day two and I'm like, I'm getting off this train, you know? But again, back to your common versus normal, and this might seem too simplistic, but it can radically transform your life if you really dig into this most important question with any symptom, whether it's a symptom of a challenge like ear infection or colic or constipation, or it's a symptom of my marriage doesn't feel like it should be. I don't have the same spark. I mean, we can dig really deep with this, but it's the most powerful question you can ever ask, why? Because if we can address the why, we're going to get down to the root cause of it. And again, we'll talk about these symptoms, but just because it's common does not mean it's normal. Like you said that. Let's talk about some other things that are common. Obesity, heart disease, diabetes, cancer, you know, broken marriages, depression. And these are perfectly common.
Right.
You have a huge community in that, but it's a community of brokenness and disconnect and overwhelm. And it gives us a reason. It gives us permission to stay the same. And I don't like to surround myself with people that allow me to stay the same if I'm not the best version of myself. So if my child has an ear infection, I want to ask, well, why? I'm not okay that 72 other people in my cul-de-sac had ear infections as babies. I want to know, why did we have ear infections? It's an immune system challenge and it's a plumbing challenge. Well, what controls that? We talked about how the immune system is greatly influenced by the nerves. There's muscles that surround that eustachian tube, the ear, that are controlled by the nerves. And guess where they all originate? Right here. And what areas torque, twisted, and yanked in the birth process? So in one fell swoop, if you're lucky, the only thing you have to deal with is ear infections. So again, by asking that why. And again, you can do it with your marriage. Like, not your marriage, but if we're like, gosh, I don't feel like, am I pursuing my spouse like I used to? Right. Am I sending them love notes? Our last date night was 3 years ago. Maybe that's why. It's like, I got to ask why. And it hurts. Right. And a lot of times at the end of that question is like, well, I need to do this. I have to take action on this. And if we can delegate and differentiate and dilute our responsibility in these issues, it might make us feel a little bit better, but it's why we're where we're at today with a lot of sick kids, a lot of broken marriages, and a lot of things that we feel like, well, it's not my fault. It might not be your fault, but it is your responsibility to fix it and keep asking why.
Yeah. And I love that because I always think when I even look at my own children, I'm like, this is the next generation. Like, this is the future. So what kind of future are we building? Like, what's the narrative? What is the health and vitality of these children? And as you can see, like, from statistically, and then I love the question because, you know, my two-year-old right now asks me why a lot. And so I'm like, maybe we should be more like a two-year-old, right? And just keep asking, just say, why? And then I think we get to the underlying cause of like, okay, this is really the why. And I think that with everything, like think about when you pursue something in business or you're pursuing here, like you have to really get down to your nitty gritty why, right? So it like inspires you to take action. I think that's kind of the same way with this, with kids, right? Is, you know, we have to really get down to that nitty gritty of what's really going on and the why. And, you know, for me, I'm so grateful. And whether you know, I believe in God, but I believe that it was God that gave me that intuition or that spark to kind of keep asking questions and say, nope, something doesn't feel right. Or nope, this is,
you kept asking,
off, you know? And I love that it's so simple that it's just keep asking why. And then, you know, finding solutions, right? Cause I feel like, don't you feel like that they're just there? The solutions are there. It's just like everything that's happening right now, everything's just being blocked, I feel, or it's always been there, but it's just, it's hard to find it because, you know, there's censorship or there's, this top down narrative that we have with some medical professionals, not all. I'm friends with medical professionals too. Okay. This is not a bash, like medical, But I just, yeah, I love that. I love the why.
Yeah.
I'll keep asking why.
Something I filter out when there are times and seasons in your life where you just start to accept things that aren't the best version. I think of the words of Sean Stevenson. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's the 3-foot giant, just one of the most brilliant voices in my life. And we lost him a couple years ago. You can see his story. But one of the things he said that stuck with me, he's like, never accept a prediction that doesn't empower you. So, I mean, from the very onset of this call, it's like the purpose of our videos truly, it's not me. It's not chiropractic. It's to empower whoever's watching it, because you can't, we just live in a society that says you have to accept it. And if somebody with a white coat and a stethoscope says it, they're the authority. And there are times where you have to listen. They may be exactly right, but if it disempowers you, if you don't feel that you're still in the driver's seat, it's okay to question that narrative. When your liberties are being diluted, it's okay to question that narrative. When the power is a parent and a mom that knows their child better, that you are literally connected to them physiologically for 40 weeks or less, you know, it's like, who knows your child better? And again, you might not be able to run blood samples, but you know your child. Keep asking questions. And if you just get dismissed and downgraded with like, oh, just take this, numb the symptom. We've never answered the question why. So don't stop asking questions for your child, for yourself, for your marriage, because when you do that, it just filters out all the noise and you can hear that voice that's always been talking. It's always there. I think God's voice is always there. It's just we pack it in with so much noise and distraction and chaos. And if we don't do it, the government, the state, right, the school, like everybody else is doing it too. And it's like, we got to get those moments of quiet. It's the most unselfish thing you can do as a mom is to take care of yourself first, to listen to that voice first. And then we can guide, lead, and love and serve everybody else at a much higher capacity and live the life that we're called for rather than the life we're told of what to do.
Right. Well, I love how you make us the heroes too, because I feel like, you know, I remember when I had my huge chiropractic story, and you guys can go listen to it, it was my first episode, but, you know, being at this breaking point of me and then now going through it with my son, you know, but literally not wanting to live anymore, literally like just telling my husband, okay, if something happens to me or like if nothing's working, then I'm out of here, you know, because there's no way I can live like this. And then when I got better, you know, I remember this is when my husband was first in chiropractic school, right? So he's watching this take place. And then, you know, it was around 8 adjustments. I finally felt back to normal and I almost forgot what normal felt like, you know, because
yeah,
I was
so. Yeah,
forgot
what good was. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember I was like, thank you so much. Like chiropractic, like saved my life. And he said, nope. He said, it was your nervous system, your body. Yeah. You did it. He said, I just removed the interference. So he's like, I'm not the hero in this. He's like, you need to thank your body. You need to thank your nervous system because it went and did the work for you. I just removed that interference. And I love that you have that same mantra too, is that it's us, like we are the heroes in it, and it's your own body. Your own body is so innate. It does so many innate natural things for you without being asked. Like that's what I teach, tell my yoga class, like thank your body. It's doing so many things without being asked, you know? And so I appreciate that you say that, because I think a lot of times that we devalue or don't think that our body has this innate power when it totally does. And what chiropractors do is you're just removing that interference, right?
Right.
So maybe just talk about a little bit about what you do and maybe how it works for removing interference. And so maybe moms that are listening are like, okay, how's this really going to work?
Right. Yeah. So some people that are listening in are like, all right, chiropractic, all right, I get the story. It all makes sense. But what the heck does an adjustment have to do with any of that stuff? Well, chiropractors have done a phenomenally horrible job of explaining what we do, because we did sell out to insurance companies in the 80s just to get a buck, basically. And we stopped talking about innate. We start talking about that brainstem and the spinal cord and the nervous system communicating. If you think about it, every aspect of your existence is filtered, controlled, and coordinated through that brain and nervous system. If I want to do this with my finger, if I want my liver to work, my emotions, my immune, it's just endless. It's controlled by the nerves. But all those different stressors, that perfect storm overwhelms that nervous system, and we hold that position out of connection, out of stress. What an adjustment does is it reconnects, not in some Star Wars metaphysical voodoo way.
We don't just rub a crystal over it.
No crystals.
Do we put a tinfoil hat and rub a crystal over it?
And she talked about that energy score, EMG scan, thermography, heart rate variability. We could get really technical, we're not going to guess. We measure that neurology, find that key area, and adjust it very specifically with love and intention and specificity and a whole lot of science to back it up, reconnecting that neurology, but also reconnecting that potential that you should have never been sick in the first place. That the headache is a symptom, it's not a diagnosis. That the ADHD is a symptom, it's a state, it's not a diagnosis. It's not on an MRI, it's not on a blood test, it's a symptom. Now, there are some times where genetics are involved. We like to blame genetics on everything, of every known disease, even ones that don't exist anymore. There's a list of diseases of mankind forever, about 8% are genetic.
Yeah.
And there's a strong argument that that 8% needs just as many, if not more, adjustments anyway, because you got to make the best of what they already have.
Right.
So again, we're not here to dismiss genetics or diseases, but we have to have the best version of our neurology so that we can be the best version of ourselves. That's what adjustments do. So can that help with your back and your neck ache? Yeah, that's like the easiest thing we do.
Right.
But your anxiety, your depression, your brokenness, your overwhelm, I can't sleep even though I'm exhausted, my adrenal fatigue, my hypothyroidism, we're not treating any of those things. Just like your husband said, we're reconnecting that so your neurology can take it. And I'll speak very briefly on this. Dr. Tony developed this, and it's something we're super excited about, that work he's doing with those severe cases of traumatic brain injury, mm-hmm. nonverbal autism. I have a kid that's coming in that has about 100 seizures a day real soon.
These are kids
that are coming from different parts of the country to our practice. We've even set up local hotels and restaurants, giving us some insane deals because they're traveling all over the world to come see us. It's a neurointensive program. So again, yes, we can help with the backaches, neck aches, headaches, the anxiety, the ADHD, the sensory challenges, but even those nationally known, just I've lost all hope cases, we're here to help. And again, there's people traveling to us and we're training groups of doctors that hopefully they don't have to travel too far. But a little girl we saw this morning, it was hopeless. She's having seizures. She's an 8-month-old baby. She had such a horrific reaction to anything ingested, including breast milk, the vomiting, the throwing, the failure to thrive, losing weight rapidly. She was possibly going to die, started to have seizures. So they stuck a feeding tube in her belly, and understandably so. But I actually found something out on her second visit. The mom said that what something had changed for the positive and a few adjustments. She's like, I can kiss my baby again. I'm like, what are you talking about? The idea of anything going into her mouth, and it was horrific. Like, this is one of the worst cases we've ever seen with colic reflux. And just to call it colic is insensitive. And she was dying from this.
The idea
of something going in her mouth led to all that chaos. So anything going near her face was overwhelmingly anxious for her. And this is an 8-month-old baby, and a mom couldn't kiss her cheeks, couldn't squeeze her cheeks. And she was losing her child. So we're adjusting that. We're not treating those symptoms, but we're removing that neurology. And guess what's getting better? She can kiss her baby all the time. She can squeeze those cheeks. She was only pooping once every 3 or 4 days. And now she's going 3 times a day. And hopefully that tube's going to come out soon. And you know who gets all the credit when that's done? That baby. Because that potential was always in her. And somewhere along the way, it got disconnected and overwhelmed. So, that's the potential that everybody has. But the purpose of chiropractic, when it's done right, and here's the sad caveat, not everybody does this. Not everybody cares enough or wants to invest the money enough to measure that with those tests that we have. So before you go to any chiropractor, I'm not going to try and trick you to come to see me. If you're anywhere near us and want to fly to us, I'll make it happen. We'll even hook you up with a hotel. But my point is there are better chiropractors out there, just like there's better dentists. There's better high vibe mamas out there too, better dancers. There's better hairstylists. I'm not trying to bash my own colleagues, but the last thing you want to do to an overstimulated brain in neurology is overstimulated with a rack and crack and shop. I won't say names of types of chiropractors that do that, but it is frustrating when moms have gone to so close, it's like, if you would have gone to the right chiropractor,
exactly,
it would have been a different experience. So that's our piece to the puzzle, but it's not even really a piece of the puzzle. And I love that you nailed this. Of course, what we do with our bodies is important. That's an important piece, like our physicality, our exercising, our dancing, our emotional health. Oh my gosh, that's so important. Our chemical health, what we put in our bodies. But all of those puzzle pieces are sitting on a foundation, a table, if you will, of a brain and nervous system that even cares to fight for you instead of fight against you. And if that nervous system is wound up, disconnected, overwhelmed from pregnancy, from birth, from whatever happened, whether it's a baby mom or grandparent, we have to set the table for the puzzle to come together. And that's where we love partnering with people like you and other experts to say, yes, there's so many pieces of this, but let's do it together and do it in the best way possible so that we can create this beautiful life together.
Exactly. When I do a lot of my wellness consults or nutrition, consults or whatever, when I go through their history, I just always tell them none of this is going to work unless your nervous system you know, because I love how you talked about it all fitting together in a puzzle piece.
Right.
I should use that. And, you know, it's hard for them to connect that. And I said, no, I'm serious. Like, your digestion, we're not going to get it better unless we're getting your nervous system good too. And so I love that you touched on that and said that. And you guys, your spine is your best friend. Like, what did Hippocrates say? He said, look to the spine for health. You know, I mean, your spine is your foundation. It is like the cornerstone of your health. If you have bad spine health, you have bad health. And I feel like, especially for kids starting out and all the spine stress that they have. And so I'm so grateful that we were able to discuss this and talk about this. I mean, we could talk about this forever. I'm kind of running out of time now because I only get so much time in the studio. But is there anything else that you want to say or maybe like end with? Because, you know, you're the star of the show today, not me. Yeah. So I'm glad you did most of the talking.
Yeah, my encouragement specifically to moms and to parents is keep asking better questions for your health, for your child's health, and keep seeking out those answers, even if you have to travel for them. And if you are in a place where you're like, I know something's not right, I need to find those resources, reach out to us, reach out to her, reach out to me, because we are here to help. And one of the most powerful things I do on a consistent basis is make a good referral. I might not be even in your side of the country, you know, right. but I'm side of the world, but keep asking questions, because the doctors like me, the families like her, and the specialists like her, like, this is our passion, mission, and purpose. This isn't a paycheck, just a paycheck. Yeah, we get paid very well for what we're doing, but it's our purpose in life to get you to the right place, because I want a better world. And sadly, all the statistics are going in the wrong direction, but I have 5 boys that are growing up into that world, and I want them to be met with grace and connection and health. I want them to marry somebody that's happy, healthy, and connected. I want their teachers to be the best versions of themselves. I want our police officers to be the best versions of themselves.
Right.
But we just seem to be pitting ourselves against each other in society. And it's not the connection that we long for. So our passion and purpose in life is to connect you to your potential, but also to the team that's going to get you there. So yeah, you have my contact information, even if I've got nothing.
And
to
I'll
sell
put it. Yeah. Health. I'll put it in the show notes and how you can get in contact with him. And then, but remember Captain Obvious, was he supposed to say something or anything?
Oh, we're going to throw him in right at the end. He's a jerk. I don't know why you want to talk to him.
Yeah. So. He's a jerk. You guys have to follow him on Facebook. He does a lot of funny Captain Obvious, stuff. So anyway,
to me, that was just an outlet. That's my therapy. I won't talk long on him, but like, there's so many things out there that should piss us off, that should enrage us. But again, there's enough anger. There's enough frustration. So I like to package it with humor to say, guys, is anybody else seeing this? Like, let's be honest. Like, is this working out for us? And again, if we can do it, if we can laugh and dance our way through life, even through the sad times, life's going to be better. So yeah, you do it with dance. I do it with laughter, but we're going to get to the same happy.
Right. Well, I call mine savage. The savageness is coming out in me. So you call it Captain Obvious. I call it savage. Hey, it's kind of the same thing, right? So anyway, well, I appreciate Jason Day and Captain Obvious being on my podcast, and just all of your insight, all of your knowledge. And I'll definitely put all your information in the show notes and, you know, share this with you if you want to share it too. And I just appreciate your time so much and being able to be connected with such an amazing human. So
for sure. Honored. Hey, I can't wait to watch everything in your life unfold, because it's going somewhere great. And I'm honored to be on this conversation, but more importantly, I'm honored to keep it going, because this journey we're on together, one big gigantic collective humanity. So let's do it. Let's have fun. Let's dance. Let's laugh. Let's learn together and learn through each other too. So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate this. All right. We will see you later. This podcast is brought to you by Make Waves Media House. Make Waves Media House is a full service video production company based out of Spokane, Washington, but does work all over the U.S. specializing in music video production, editing, director of photography services, motion graphics, and commercial work. With 20 years of experience behind the camera and celebrating 7 years in business, Make Waves is here to create your high quality videos at affordable prices. You can find them on Facebook at Make Waves Media House, on Instagram at make.waves.mh, or call them now at 509-991-3000. Attention Idaho and California residents. If you're shopping for a mortgage, contact PacFi, a mortgage brokerage with the top wholesale lenders in the nation. They are committed to simplifying the mortgage process, saving you time and money. Call 858-442-7048 or visit pacfi.com. NMLS number 1462943, equal housing lender. Hey, thanks for listening, sending you all the good vibes. The podcast can be found on most major podcasting platforms. Subscribe, follow me on social platforms, Facebook at highvibelifestyle.co, Instagram at _highvibemama, and visit my website, highvibemama.com, and download your free manifesto to launch you into living a high vibrational life. Leave a review, and we'll see you in the next episode.